Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we're studying the book of Leviticus. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Scripture today comes from Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 through 45.
For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth. For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy.
How can imperfect people live in a relationship with a perfect God? This is the question underlying the book of Leviticus. At the beginning of the book, Moses, the leader of God's people, the Israelites, is unable to enter into the presence of God, which is located in a tent-like structure called the tabernacle. The reason for this barrier to closeness? The Israelites have turned from God and worshipped an idol, and this broke their end of the covenant, the promised agreement they had made with God. This unfaithfulness has fractured the relationship. It's the equivalent of a spouse cheating. But God, who is so rich in mercy, is faithful to unfaithful people. Leviticus describes the provisions God gives so that the Israelites can live in the closeness of His presence. This idea might feel a little foreign to us. You might be thinking, why are these provisions necessary? Why is the people's sin and unfaithfulness an issue? Well, by His nature, God is holy. God's holiness is His perfect presence. God's presence is good, but it is also dangerous. Because He's holy, God is set apart from all that is impure and evil. Think about the sun. It's obviously a good force, but if you get too close to it, you'll burn up. In the same way, for anyone to be in a relationship with God, to be close to Him, they must be holy as well. Like a force of fire, the goodness of God's presence consumes anything around it that is not perfect in goodness. But like all of humanity, the Israelites are not holy. They do not keep God's law perfectly. Just like they worship the idol, they're going to keep breaking their end of the covenant. So here's the predicament. How are they going to be in relationship with God? God provides a way within the law for the people's impurity and sin to be covered. These provisions act like a shield. The people are able to live in God's holy presence without being destroyed. For example, God gives the provision of sacrifices. By making these offerings, the people are forgiven of their sins and made right with God. God also provides ritual and moral guidelines for the people to follow. To be ritually pure, the people are to stay away from or purify themselves after coming in contact with certain things that represent death, like skin disease, mold, dead bones, or impure animals. Being ritually impure isn't sinful in itself, but carelessly bringing it into God's presence is. To be morally pure, God instructs the people how to live morally holy lives, such as caring for the poor, living in sexual purity, and upholding justice. And for the priests, the people who will be operating closest to God's presence, there is an even more intense set of guidelines to follow. So Leviticus does show us the graciousness of God to provide a way for people to live in His holy presence. But it also shows us the insufficiency of these provisions. The sacrifices and ritual and moral guidelines don't actually deal with the root issue of sin. They're more like a band-aid. Ultimately, all the provisions of Leviticus are only a shadow of the final provision, Jesus himself, fulfilling the practice of sacrifices. Jesus became the sacrifice that covered his people's sins for all eternity. Fulfilling the role of priest, Jesus became the perfect priest that enters God's presence on behalf of his people. And finally, fulfilling the moral and ritual guidelines, Jesus became the way that his people now live in holiness. He unites them to himself, crediting them with the perfect life that he lived. He gives them his spirit, who transforms Christians from the inside out into greater degrees of holiness. In the gospel accounts of Jesus' time on earth, we actually see him come in contact with many ritually and morally impure people. But Jesus doesn't stay away from these people. He moves towards them. He seeks them out and draws near to them. Their impurity doesn't corrupt him. On the contrary, his purity transforms them. How can imperfect people live in a relationship with the perfect God? Through Jesus. He is the way. So all of this means that you are good with God. You don't have to clean yourself up before going to him. You don't have to figure out how you're going to change before going to him with your sin. You can rest in your good standing before God in his holy presence. But this doesn't mean that God doesn't care how you live. C.S. Lewis, who was an Oxford professor and an author, wrote a book called The Problem of Pain. And in it, he argues that God's commitment to not leave us as we are is a sign of his love. He uses the example of an artist. If an artist is making a quick sketch to simply amuse a kid, he's not going to take much trouble over it. It's okay if it doesn't turn out exactly how he wanted. But what about the artist's masterpiece? His work of art that he loves the most. He's going to expend endless trouble and energy on the painting to get it right. Lewis says, we are a divine work of art, something that God is making, and therefore something with which he will not be satisfied until it has a certain character. God loves you in your sin, but because he loves you, he can't leave you in your sin. Leviticus shows us that God cares about every detail of our lives. He is transforming every part of it with his holy presence. Listen to the Message translation of Romans 12, 1 through 2. It echoes this idea that God wants to transform every aspect of our lives. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. How do we live holy, set apart, transformed lives? According to this passage, it's by fixing our attention on God and the work he's doing in us. Psychologists have shown us that energy flows where attention goes. For example, if you focus your attention on a project you're working on or on a business you're building, you're going to start to have insights pop into your head throughout the day or in the middle of the night. You'll start overhearing conversations or stumbling upon resources and people that further your plan. Or let's take another example. Psychologists tell us that when you get overwhelmed or stressed, if you just direct your attention to the feelings and sensations in your body, your experience of stress will immediately start to decrease. Energy flows where attention goes. So take a moment to tune your focus into this, that God's holy presence is with you in every detail of your life, working transformation. What would it look like to live focused and aware of God in His holy presence? To notice the ways He's refining you. To see Him in His work in the details of your life. As you listen to the worship song, praise God. Thank Him for creating a way through Jesus for imperfect people to be in a relationship with Him, a holy God. And for then transforming us with His holy power and presence.
Come be with me, Lord. Be with me here. Just to know You more is all that I need. So Father, draw near. I don't need power. I don't need strength. I don't need answers. All that I ask is to see Your face in Your presence.